All right, we are back. We told you at the top of the program we were going to do what we've been doing the last several weeks for this second segment, and by God, we shall. Our first segment will come from Ben Mycelis, whose excellent Midas Touch YouTube channel is certainly worth checking out. Mr. McMillan, please.
Donald Trump is having a terrible morning. He woke up and saw the new New York Times Siena poll that has him trailing in all the key battleground states. And also, he's now behind Vice President Kamala Harris in Arizona and North Carolina. So naturally, Donald Trump went on his social media platform and started blaming Google. Yep, Donald Trump is saying Google is conspiring with Vice President Kamala Harris to rig the election against him. And after posting about Google and sending weird and unhinged emails, Donald Trump then walked out into his private golf course where he made people clap for him like he is a North Korean dictator. Let's just take a look first at this New York Times Siena poll right here. You take a look at it, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, Vice President Kamala Harris is up 4 in each of those states. You take a look at Arizona and North Carolina, Vice President Kamala Harris is up there as well. She's up 4 in Arizona. She's up 2 in North Carolina. In Nevada and Georgia, she's catching up to Donald Trump there as well. And I wouldn't be shocked if on the next poll, we see Vice President Kamala Harris prevailing there. Take a look at what Donald Trump's been posting over and over again. He goes, Kamala Harris team and Google caught manipulating headlines and stories, creating fake news. This is not legal, Donald Trump is posting just before. And if you take a look, he's been posting this fairly consistently right here. Like, here's a post. Wow, Google and the Harris campaign are manipulating stories. Is this legal? Question mark. Then he posts this, Google trying to rig the election, exclamation point. And here's a post that he made a few weeks back where he said, Facebook has just admitted that it wrongly censored Trump's attempted assassination photo and got caught. Same thing for Google. They made it virtually impossible to find pictures or anything about this heinous act. Both are facing big backlash over censorship claims. Here we go again, another attempt at rigging the election. Go after Meta and Google. Let them know we are all wise to them. We will be much tougher this time. MAGA 2024, as our editor-in-chief Ron Filipkowski writes, I remain confused by Donald Trump's idea that this incident is going to win the election for him. A Republican kid clipped his ear. Everyone in the country saw the pic. It was on every single news channel in America nonstop for days. They think if people see it more, he wins. By the way, I just went on Google moments ago and I looked up Trump shooting. And then you see it automatically comes up. Trump update, Trump shooting date, Trump shooting photo, Trump shooting investigation, Trump shooting location, Trump shooting picture, Trump shooting map. Then when you actually search Trump shooting photo, the first thing that comes up is new photos show attempted Trump assassin before he shot at Trump. Body cam footage, cop at Trump shooting says he warned Secret Service about roof. And then I go into the images to say, is Google censoring these images? Of course they're not. If you look at Trump shooting photo, it's all of the photos. And what actually they're not showing you are clips like this where Donald Trump basically says, so what happened was it clipped my lobe. My lobe, he goes. Here, play this clip. This is at one of these unhinged press conferences that Donald Trump held recently. Let's play the clip.
Yeah, pretty much recovered, yeah. I'm a fast healer. It's a hell of a shot, but I'm a fast healer. Yeah, pretty much recovered.
Do you have any hearing
damage from? No, it didn't hit that. I got very lucky. It just hit the lobe, as they call it.
Is there a scar on your ear?
Yeah, a little bit, not much. On top.
A little.
So here's Donald Trump walking into Bedminster, walking into his golf course. First, I just want to show you this. This is a North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un, right here. You see in the background how he gets clapped by, or people are clapping at him, and how that's exactly what Donald Trump wants to happen. So when Donald Trump arrives at Bedminster after saying that Google is colluding with Kamala Harris to try to overturn the results of whatever, to steal the election or rig the election or whatever ridiculous thing he says, he makes the people clap for him. Now, I'm only going to show you 30 seconds of this, but this goes on for 5 minutes. He makes the people stand up, clap for him for 5 minutes as he goes to people and basically like looks at them, inspects them, picks who he wants to talk to. Just watch this because it tells you a lot about who he is. Play this clip.
Yes, what Ben was about to go to was a clip showing Trump walking into the meeting. It is very reminiscent of Kim Jong-un walking into his Congress or whatever it is. But without a doubt, there certainly are parallels. And of course, there's been a lot of talk of late about how Trump and Vance are appearing increasingly unhinged. And well, Ben gets into that next.
Donald Trump also sending a series of completely unhinged emails this morning, like these types of emails coming from his campaign. Fight, fight, fight. Ben, I have two questions for you. The one from J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. This pic of Kamala Harris is pissing me off. You're sending an email that a picture of Vice President Kamala Harris is pissing you off. It's like a weird email to send. Here's the email that Trump goes. This is a message from Donald Trump. Fight, fight, fight. This is the shirt you've all been waiting for. Seriously, claim the Trump fight shirt. That's the message that he's running a campaign on. And then there's the J.D. Vance. This pic of Kamala pisses me off. And it's Vice President Kamala Harris wearing a necklace. And J.D. Vance is showing a different Tiffany necklace than the necklace she's wearing. But J.D. Vance, who's a Silicon Valley millionaire, is attacking Vice President Kamala Harris for a necklace that she is wearing. I mean, Donald Trump is speaking at his private country club where his first wife, Ivana, is buried under a bunch of shrubs. Donald Trump is engaged in all of that, and you're attacking Vice President Kamala Harris for wearing a necklace? Oh, I guess so. I guess that's what they're doing. Oh, here's the other email from Donald Trump this morning. Google is a crooked election interference machine. Totally illegal. They will pay a big price for what they are doing. Townhall.com/tipsheet or whatever it is. Google is a crooked election interference machine. Now, what should be more accessible on Google is the fact that Donald Trump is posting QAnon memes like this. Take a look at this photo Donald Trump repost. You see at the bottom, it says Q plus, and then this weird meme of Donald Trump, and we strange looking too, goes, where we go one, we go all. That's the motto of QAnon right there. You know, and here's Donald Trump from a speech that he gave recently where he talked about Hannibal Lecter. Here, play this clip.
Why? Because that's a vicious thing. I said, that's Silence of the Lamb. You know what that is? Has anybody seen Silence of the Lambs? Hannibal Lecter, how great an actor was he? You know why I like him? Because he said on television on one of the, I love Donald Trump, so I love him. I love him. I love him. He said that a long time ago, and once he said that, he was in my camp, I was in his camp. Yeah, I don't care if he was the worst actor, I'd say he was great to me.
And look, that's what should be being emphasized here, you know, which Donald Trump seems to have prevented corporate media from wanting to cover these things because he keeps on complaining over and over again.
And this, of course, is worth a slight detour into the strange and apparently quite deranged statements Donald J. Trump keeps making about Hannibal Lecter. I'm pretty sure that everyone listening realizes that Hannibal Lecter is a fictional person. Trump himself appears a little confused about this as he refers to the late, great Hannibal Lecter. And yes, why a cannibalistic psychopath could be called great is another question. There, of course, is open speculation at this point that these references to Lecter may seem like a digression, but Trump has previously attempted to draw a parallel between the serial killing movie Cannibal and the migrants and asylum seekers who enter the U.S. without permission. Keep in mind that Trump has called Lecter legendary, and while in his rallies, referring to migrants coming from mental institutions or insane asylums, at least according to the New York Times. Since at least 2015, Trump has called migrants mentally ill and violent criminals. Border officials say they are most often vulnerable families escaping precarious situations. Mr. Miller notes he has no idea why Trump does not refer to Hannibal Lecter as mentally ill and a violent criminal, as opposed to a nice fellow and legendary. But the question has to be asked, is Donald Trump confusing the fact that many people come to the U.S. seeking asylum as people who have gotten out of insane asylums? I'm not sure there's any way we can know that for sure, but I know how I'd lay my money down. Now, you just heard Trump's non-explanation of, you know why I like him, referring to Hannibal Lecter. And I think I must quote from the former president on this one, quote, Hannibal Lecter, how great an actor was he? You know why I like him? Because he said on television, I love Donald Trump, so I love him. You just heard him say it. I'm just repeating it. Now, Newsweek took a look at this and discovered that none of the four actors who have portrayed Hannibal Lecter, Anthony Hopkins, Gaspar Ulliel, Brian Cox, or Mads Mikkelsen, have ever said they love him. So, like the Taylor Swift endorsement, this appears to be plucked out of thin air. And you know, in election seasons in the past, or just in the political world in the past, such gaffes would have consequences. And maybe they will here, too. We're doing our best to try and generate some. Apparently, Anthony Hopkins was quite amused when he was advised of the fact that Trump keeps referring to Hannibal Lecter in his speeches. Wondering out loud whether Trump realizes that this is a fictional cannibal. And before we go, let's take a look at some of those numbers that Micellus was showing his audience, and which we will reiterate. Trump appears to be 4 points down in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, which looks pretty good for Harris. But I would remind our listeners that before Election Day in 2016, Hillary Clinton was up by 4 percentage points in all three of those states, and they all went red. More intriguing news, perhaps, is the fact that in North Carolina, which Barack Obama did carry in 2008, it's now dead even. To tell you right now, if Harris carries North Carolina, she will be president. It's apparently getting closer in Georgia, but there's so much chicanery going down there to steal the state of Georgia for the Republicans that I have a hard time being optimistic. For that, I would refer you to our previous talks with Greg Palast about the chicanery in Georgia. But if you check out 270 to win today, as we just did, you would see that the three gray states not committed to either candidate are considered to be Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Arizona. This with Harris at 251 electoral votes, meaning she takes Pennsylvania, she's got the whole enchilada. But if she should prevail in North Carolina and in either Nevada or Arizona, she wouldn't need Pennsylvania. So anyway, hard times for the Donald. Next, we'll go to an MSNBC report about, well, about who Donald is. Mr. Millen and I have been taking a look at Donald Trump for many years now, and we think that his allegation that the Presidential Medal of Freedom is better than the Congressional Medal of Honor might be the most insane and horrible thing to ever come out of his mouth. And that says a lot. But let us delve into that matter.
The incident in 2018 where Trump reportedly said that nearly 2,000 American Marines were suckers and losers because they died. As Trump reportedly put it, why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers. Now, the Trump White House denied that story when it came out, and of course they did. It would be obviously terrible to call American service members suckers and losers, and then also to be caught doing so. But the problem with the White House denial, even then, was that Trump had already been talking about American service members like that for literally decades. Here was how Trump spoke about former U.S. Senator John McCain, a Navy captain who served for more than 20 years and spent 5.5 of those years as a prisoner of war in Vietnam.
The way Trump looks at it, he's at least better than everyone else in the race, beginning with John McCain.
A little bit. I mean, he was captured.
And he flew combat missions.
Question, does being captured make you a hero? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because I don't like losers.
Frank, let me get to it. He hit me. He's not a war hero.
He's a war hero.
He's a war hero.
5.5 years.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
Trump likes people that weren't captured and weren't killed and not those suckers and losers who died for the country. And then when it comes to Trump's own military service, well, there isn't any. Trump got four deferments to avoid being drafted in the Vietnam War. One of them was for bone spurs in his feet. Back in 2018, the daughters of the now deceased Queens podiatrist who gave Trump that bone spurs diagnosis, they said that their father gave that diagnosis to Trump as a favor to Trump's father. Trump's father was the podiatrist's landlord. In exchange for that get out of the draft free card, the family of the podiatrist say the podiatrist got better treatment as one of Trump's father's tenants. Family says they don't even know if Trump was ever even examined for his alleged bone spurs. But that doesn't mean that Donald Trump believes he hasn't served in a strange, twisted, Trumpy version of reality. At this point, I'm going to say that if you have children in the room, you may want to mute the television, because what Trump is about to say here is lewd.
Because you've never gotten a social disease.
It is a dangerous world out there.
It is.
Scary. It's like Vietnam, Vietnam
era. It is your personal Vietnam, isn't it?
It is my personal
It is. You've
Vietnam.
Said that many
I feel
times.
Like a great and very brave soldier.
They say that more people were killed by women in Iraq than killed in Vietnam.
Yes.
Okay?
That is true.
And you get criticized for that statement, but that statement is very easy.
I even went as far to say that you're braver than any Vietnam vet because you're out there screwing a lot of women.
Dangerous to women than women are to men.
Congressional Medal of Honor in actuality.
Donald Trump considers avoiding STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, his own personal Vietnam. And while Trump thinks that John McCain is a loser for actually serving in Vietnam, Trump thinks he should get the Congressional Medal of Honor for his service in his personal Vietnam of avoiding STDs. That is who J.D. Vance thinks is always being faithful to those who put on the uniform. But you don't actually even have to reach into the distant past to see just how much respect or disrespect Donald Trump has for the military. Here was Trump roughly 24 hours ago explaining why he thinks the medal he gave a billionaire conservative donor, why he thinks that medal is actually better than the highest military award in the country.
We gave Miriam the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's the highest award you can get as a civilian. It's the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor, but civilian version. It's actually much better because everyone gets the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's soldiers. They're either in very bad shape because they've been hit so many times by bullets, or they're dead. She gets it, and she's a healthy, beautiful woman. It's right. And they're rated equal.
I do want to make one comment about Miriam Adelson, who received that Presidential Medal of Freedom and who, according to Donald, looks great. Miriam is the widow of Sheldon Adelson, the now-deceased casino billionaire who donated tens of millions of dollars to Donald Trump's campaign over the years. And I guess in Trump world, that sort of service earns you a Presidential Medal of Freedom. Anyway, this segment closed with a brief talk with Janelle Bowie, who is a New York Times columnist, about this whole kerfuffle.
Trump is incapable of seeing beyond himself, of understanding why someone would do something that doesn't directly redound to their benefit, and specifically their material benefit, right? Doesn't give them a piece of property or money or what have you, doesn't satisfy their appetites. And so he looks at people who serve first and foremost and is like, I don't understand that, it's stupid. And then he looks at people who died in the course of serving their country and is even more bewildered, even more baffled. Why would you voluntarily put yourself in that kind of situation when you cannot do that and also satisfy your appetites? And that statement when he was giving out the civilian award, when he was like the Presidential Medal, and he was like, you know, she's still alive and she's beautiful. That to me is the key, right? Why would you sacrifice yourself for anything when you can satisfy your appetites and your ego?
And now we'll go down under. Radio Parallax unfortunately lost our Australian correspondent some years ago. We would note that Australia's version of 60 Minutes has certainly picked up the slack. In this case, taking a deep dive into who Donald J. Trump has always been.
If political ruthlessness and cunning were Olympic events, Donald Trump would surely be glistening in gold. Such is his will to regain the world's top job, he's become even more proficient at belittling and slandering anyone who stands in his way. This time around, Trump's campaign for presidency is setting records for spitefulness. And with 11 weeks still until polling day, stand by for plenty more vitriol. Tonight, though, a counterattack from an unexpected quarter, a member of his own family. Fred Trump has released a damning memoir, which reveals his uncle Donald is capable of a whole new level of cruelty and nastiness.
She's a horror show. She'll destroy our country.
Lowlife. She's a lowlife.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay?
When Mexico sends its people, they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists.
Love him or despise him, Donald Trump in full rant is an imposing and unforgettable sight.
I only want to be a dictator for one day.
A politician whose tongue lashings are legendary. The former president thrives on weaponizing his words to eviscerate his opponents.
Oh, give me a break. She can't do an interview. She's barely competent.
Is she Indian or is she black?
And if his aim is sometimes more scattergun than sharpshooter, well, he just doesn't care.
Last week I took a bullet for democracy.
But others do.
He is a tough guy. He absolutely wants his own way.
Is he a bully?
Yes.
Few know the real Donald Trump better than Fred Trump. For most of his life, he's had a privileged seat to watch the very best and appalling worst of his famous uncle.
I think he's got the biggest ego of anyone around. That's his brand. He can't lose again. He has to be the winner. Whatever it takes.
Win at all costs.
Win at all costs.
Business here, William.
As a Trump, Fred has nothing to gain by speaking publicly. But as a father, he knows he can't stay quiet any longer. He's speaking out of love for his severely disabled 25-year-old son. William Trump doesn't understand the fuss, but he's the reason his father warns Donald Trump should not be given the keys to the White House again. Tell me about your son, William.
He just exudes happiness. People fall madly in love with him right away. He's incredibly courageous. But William is one of millions of people with disabilities. So many families are struggling financially to take care of their family members. And that's something in this country we really need to change.
William was born with epilepsy and suffers devastating seizures. He's inspired Fred and his wife Lisa to advocate for all Americans with disabilities to get more affordable and efficient care. And when they had access to the White House, Fred hoped his presidential relative would help. The response he received was staggering.
In 2020, you went to the Oval Office to ask your uncle, the president, for support as you were advocating for people with disabilities. How did that go?
He was very interested in what we had to say. When the meeting dispersed, I was called back in and I was greeted by Donald's familiar, "Hey, pal, how's it going?" And I thanked him for sitting with us for 45 minutes. And he said, "Those people, the costs, they should just die. I'm just happy that none of the people in that office were there to hear that directly."
Those people, including your son?
Yes.
It's extraordinarily cruel, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. I don't know how anyone can muster up that kind of thought process and verbalize.
Hillary Clinton, she's a world-class liar.
When it comes to verbalizing shocking, even offensive thoughts, Donald Trump seems to have no filter.
especially with the less well-off. Back in 2015, he openly mocked a disabled reporter.
Guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
And as president, after this public embrace for the cameras, he reportedly told his staff that nobody wants to see wounded veterans.
It's very odd behaviour. I mean, where do you think that comes from? Is it that he doesn't see value in people that he perceives to be vulnerable or perhaps beneath him?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it is. He doesn't have empathy.
Is he capable of showing empathy?
Not that I have seen. He'll ask about William, you know, sometimes, you know, how's he doing? And one time when Lisa and I went to visit him in his office, he said, what's with William? What caused this? And Lisa said, oh, it's a genetic mutation. And his first response, not our genes.
A little bit later in the segment, Fred Jr. describes how his dad walked away from the family real estate business, making him a bit of a black sheep. He always wanted to become a pilot and did so, but things did not go well for Donald's older brother.
Sadly, Fred's father died at the age of 42, but Donald's reaction was less than caring. He rallied his surviving three siblings to cut Fred and his sister Mary out of the Trump estate.
Are you convinced that Donald was leading the charge with cutting you out of the will?
Absolutely. He was my trustee. He is supposed to make sure that my interests are taken care of. Yet he hatched a plan to steal money from Mary and I.
Despite the legal battle, Donald and his siblings did agree to set up a fund to cover William's medical costs. But Donald Trump still couldn't hide his disdain for his disabled relative.
At one point, when William's medical fund was running low, you called your uncle to ask for help. What did he say?
His response was, he doesn't recognize you, let him die and move to Florida. To say about your grandnephew is still something I can't understand and maybe don't want to understand. So I just thought about it for a second. I said, no, Donald, he does recognize me. And that was the end of that conversation.
It's clear Fred has an axe to grind with his uncle, but he insists he's telling his story now, not out of spite, but because America and democracy will suffer should Donald Trump return to the White House.
Paint a picture for me of a Trump 2.0 White House. What worries you the most?
I think it's a dangerous, dystopian view of this country's future. It's going to get nasty the next 90 plus days.
You're fired. Get out of here.
As you're about to see, the worst may be yet to come.
60 Minutes Australia then gave you a few examples of how the worst may be yet to come and had this wonderful closer with Fred Trump Jr.
Fred Trump has no intention of finding out what Trump 2.0 would look like. Shunning the family brand to campaign and vote for Kamala Harris in the November election.
Is it a strange feeling on polling day to be a Trump voting for the other side?
I'm voting for Kamala Harris because they have the policies that I believe in. Advocating on behalf of disabled people, which I know the Harris administration will.
And while Fred's public airing of the Trump laundry has incensed Donald's side of the family, Fred's more determined than ever to keep fighting for the rights of vulnerable Americans, like his precious son, William. He wants America to understand who the real Donald Trump is.
He doesn't like to lose, and not to sound trite, but he's the loser for not getting to know William. William inspires so many people and so many of the disabled who fight every day. Not the fake fight that he talks about, but the real fight. These people are hurting. They don't have a voice. They need to have a voice, and that's what we're going to give them.
Anyway, it's quite clear that Fred Trump Jr. is not going to vote for his uncle for president. Someone else who clearly is not going to do so is attorney J. Michael Luttig. Michael Luttig is a respected conservative Republican jurist. He was considered for the United States Supreme Court. When Vice President Mike Pence and his team were weighing their legal options after the 2020 election, It was Luttig whose voice they sought out. Luttig, by the way, told them to follow the law, and they did. Steve Bannon, writing in the Maddow blog, noted that since 2020, Luttig has taken fresh steps to distance himself from his ostensible allies on the right. He became one of the star witnesses in the January 6th committee's hearings. A year ago, the retired jurist said American democracy is in grave peril because of the radicalization of GOP politics. To quote from Luttig, and it's a barn burner of a quote, "In the presidential election of 2024, there is only one political party and one candidate for the presidency that can claim the mantle of defender and protector of America's democracy, the Constitution, and the rule of law. As a result, I will unhesitatingly vote for the Democratic Party's candidate for the presidency, Vice President Kamala Harris." Now, let's be clear about this. Luttig has not become a Democrat. He's not become an enthusiastic supporter of what are probably most of the policies of the Harris-Walz team. However, when faced with what he calls an existential threat to the democracy, he's going to do what he needs to do and vote against Donald J. Trump. It is my hope that this will inspire a lot of Republicans I know, friends I know, good people I know, to wake up, smell the coffee, and say, hey, this is not the party we used to belong to. Okay, enough said. Our final couple minutes here come from CBS Sunday Morning and the conversation they held with H.R. McMaster, who tried to serve as Trump's national security advisor, one of four, and, well, did the best he could. Mr. McMillan?
Tillerson lasted just over a year before he was fired.
Why do so many of the senior people who work for Donald Trump end up being either fired or quitting?
You get used up in that environment, right? President Trump does enjoy kind of pitting people against each other, you know, and that creates a lot of angst in people.
Was he just plain nasty?
At times he can be nasty, especially when he's tired, especially when he's grumpy, especially when he feels beleaguered. You know, there were a couple of times where, you know, nobody wanted to be around him, you know, and I'm like the last guy. I mean, I have to be with him, right? So I would get in the car and he would just unload on me.
The end came after a Trump phone call with Turkey's President Erdogan, which got off to a bad start when McMaster tried to prep him.
What did he have against preparation?
Well, he found it to be tedious, you know, and he had great confidence in his own instincts, right? So, like, why am I prepping for this?
McMaster decided to quit, but Trump fired him first, and at a private farewell ceremony told his family, make sure he only writes nice things about me.
The Trump campaign did not respond to requests for comment about McMaster's book.
It's a fun learning environment for all of us.
McMaster retreated to the ivory tower of the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, where he writes and teaches. And where he watched the events of January 6th.
We're in!
He encouraged an attack, you know, on the first branch of government.
They broke the glass. Everybody stay down! Get down!
And an attack on the peaceful transition of power. You know, and I think that was an abandonment of his responsibilities to the Constitution.
Is he fit to hold office?
That's the judgment that the American people have to make. I don't want to tell people how to vote.
Will he be getting your vote?
I'm not going to ever tell anybody my vote.
But he will tell you what he experienced in the first Trump administration.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
And what that might mean for a second.
History doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. I think it does, you know, foreshadow what we might expect in the second Trump administration as well.
That about does it for today's program, which was produced by Edward McMillan, who, although he's been a lifelong Republican, is certainly thinking about changing. Just kidding. This has been Radio Parallax. I'm Douglas Everett. We're going to do this again real soon. We may even do two shows next week, one of which you'd, of course, have to listen to online, but that should be easy. RadioParallax.com. See you soon.